Our second reading this morning from 1 Corinthians 3. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you weren't ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one of you says, I follow Paul, and another of you says, well, I follow Apollos, are you not being mere human beings? What, after all, is this guy Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his or her task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. This is the word of the Lord. So this morning I want to direct your attention to the growth that has happened and is right now happening in your own life. Obviously, we don't grow all by ourselves. There are always other people in our lives who played some role, whether that role was large and significant or small. And for a limited period of time. The Apostle Paul reminds us to be grateful for all those people who played some role in our lives, all those people who have helped us or taught us or mentored us or inspired us, to be grateful for those who have simply modeled for us, and maybe they didn't even know how important it was to us, who modeled for us a compelling way to live. So let's take a minute and do that right now, okay? So join with me on this. I want you to reflect for just a few minutes on some of the other people who have been a blessing to you, who have taught you in some way, shared something significant with you, inspired or mentored you, okay? So first, I want you to think about your family inheritance. So think about parents, grandparents, or extended family. What is some value or lesson or gift that you have received from family? Something that's been passed down to you. I'll give you just a minute. Anybody want to share what came to mind? Did you think about something you're grateful for that you got from somebody in your family? I see lots of smiles, so I think you're thinking of things. Okay. Dev said, just thankful for family heritage, cared about a life of faith and instilled that in the next generation. Good. Anything else? Say it again. Compassion. Hope. Very good. So some of these things our families probably talked about. Other things weren't ever articulated or expressed in any way, just modeled, sort of picked up by the atmosphere, right? So second thing I want you to do now, we've talked about families for a minute, I want you to take a minute and think of some important teacher who was instrumental in helping you at some point in your educational journey. Think of a teacher that played an important role in your life. Somebody's face come to mind? My mind gets filled up first with teachers I didn't like, but after that, I sort through that. I did have some really good teachers. I've talked before about David Kelsey, one of my professors in graduate school, a person with whom I spent 9 years and who never answered a single question I ever asked him, right? But that was crucial for me. He didn't want to answer any questions for me, right? So I bet you have some teachers. Maybe it was from earlier in your school life who were kind to you or helped you figure out that long division or whatever it was. So, of course, there have been instrumental, important people at different points in our lives. And I want us to be able to name them and be grateful for them. This helps us recognize that we, none of us, got where we are today all by ourselves, right? We are the beneficiaries of 1,000 acts of kindness and generosity from other people. But this little exercise also reminds us how important it is for us to play this role in the lives of other people, right? If it's true that our lives grow and mature and develop in large part due to the kindness and generosity of other people, then let's all make a commitment this morning that we want to be that kind of person for others in our lives too. We want to be a source of blessing for people in our orbit or our circle. So let's leave here today asking ourselves, how can we make some kind of small contribution to the flourishing and the well-being of somebody else's life? I bet there will be some way you can do that this very week. I guarantee it. So it's important to be grateful for other people and the role they've played in our lives. But Paul also reminds us to recognize that underneath all these identifiable faces, people, influences in our lives, underneath and back behind that is the harder to identify work of God's Spirit in energizing the growth that happens in our lives. Your life is like a growing, flourishing field, says the Apostle Paul. Some people have planted seeds in your life. Other people have watered those seeds. But God is the one who makes things grow. Now, in order for us to pay attention to the work that God's Spirit is doing in our lives, we'll have to learn to see two things at once. We'll have to learn to see our lives as what they are, right? Just being honest and being realistic, right? We live lives that are often troubled, limited, conflicted, flawed. We could go on with this list. That's okay. But at the very same time, we have to learn to see that these problem areas of our lives don't block the Spirit's work in our lives. In fact, it's quite the opposite. The problems that we face and the wounds that we suffer in life are the precise places in our lives where God's Spirit hovers, gently healing and tenderly reweaving what's been torn in us. Now, this is good news for us, friends. It means that we don't have to get all of our ducks in a row before God will bless us and heal us. We don't have to get all of our ducks in a row before God will come and swim among us and in between us as the one who heals and blesses. Now, I don't have to belabor this point, but in every area of our lives, we have trouble of one sort or another. Think globally. Think as big as you can. Globally, you can think of things from the climate crisis to violent places with violent dictators to drug and sex trafficking to trade wars that cause instability. Globally, all kinds of trouble. Trouble nationally, from the highest levels of economic inequality and generation stagnant wages for the working class, basic dishonesty at the highest levels of government, a healthcare system that doesn't work for most people, system of higher education that's getting so expensive, it's getting hard for any young people to even go to school. Now, come down a little bit to our local community. We have troubles there as well. A hopelessness that often manifests in substance abuse, the frequent lack of civility and respect for one another, uncertainty about the future of healthcare in our community, stressful worries about the well-being, the future of our own place. There are troubles that we could enumerate in our own families and in our personal lives as well if we wanted to take the time, right? My point is not to make an exhaustive list. My point is just to say that we could conclude, right, given all our troubles at every phase of life, that there's not much else going on in our lives. It's all problems. Now, notice in our reading from Corinthians that the Apostle Paul is able to be honest about the struggles of this congregation, and yet he presses beneath and behind that struggle to honor the growth that is also happening because of the mysterious presence of God's Spirit. Yes, the people in this congregation, Corinth, are in conflict with one another. Yes, they have an ugly habit of bragging about their own gifts and strengths. Yes, these people have a pattern of elevating their own little clique, their own little in-group, as more important and more faithful than that other group in the congregation over there. Yes, that's all true. There is trouble among them. Their lives were meant to be a visible expression of the good news of God's love for us in the crucified Jesus. But they are such a mess that one can barely see in them any good news at all. That's why Paul's writing to them. And yet Paul can say to these same selfish, short-sighted, angry, argumentative people, "You are God's field. Your life is like an expertly cared for field, taken care of by a team of skilled and attentive farmers. Some people in your life have planted seeds for you. Others have watered and encouraged them, and still others have weeded and cultivated and provided you with good feedback and boundaries in life. And there is rich soil in you, and the light of God's sun is shining on you, and the warmth of God's compassion is embracing your life in a way that's causing good things to emerge in your life. And it's happening right now, in spite of all the other stuff, the problems, the troubles that you might be able to name." So don't miss the importance of this teaching. This can make a huge difference in how you see yourself and how you move about the world. When we experience conflict or setbacks or failure or disappointment or struggle or loss or pain, this does not mean that we're not growing. Let me say that again. When you face difficult things in life, it does not mean that you're not growing. It does not mean that nothing good is happening in us, in between us and among us. And this is true across all those different levels of life that I've already mentioned. I fear that there may be some of us here this morning who have grown a bit bored or cynical or disappointed with our own lives. Some of us look at ourselves, at our own lives, and we see so much unexciting ordinariness when we look at our own experience that we cannot even recognize the growth that is happening deep in the soil of our lives. Some of us are so preoccupied by our weaknesses, our mistakes, so focused on some of the hard things that have come our way, so focused on the pain of some of the wounds that we've experienced, that we can't even realize the beautiful, gently unfolding growth that's taking place right now down in the depth of our lives. Back up for just a minute, and I want you to ask what might be a cynical question, but this is the way I think. Is this really true? I mean, okay, right, the Apostle Paul says it, but is it true? Is it true that God's Spirit is cultivating this flourishing of goodness in our lives, even when we can point out so many ways where things aren't right with us? After all, we live with ourselves every single day. And it might seem odd to hear that something is happening in you and you might not even be aware of it. You may not even be capable of noticing it. But let me give you an analogy. Think about your school pictures, right? Some of you may have your school pictures from kindergarten to your senior year. Now just think about that series of school pictures. One a year across 12 years or so. I don't remember what every one of my years of the school picture looked like, but I remember a few years. I remember one year, I think it was my second grade year, I was in a battle with my mother, who was convinced that you should always dress up. You should always look nice. I mean, this was going to be you captured for perpetuity. It was important to be presentable. And I was arguing with her that the Miami Dolphins were very important to me and that my jersey was one of my most prized possessions. And I felt like it would be meaningful to me to have my school picture taken in my Miami Dolphins jersey. I won that argument. And so I wish I would have had that put up on the screen. I remember another year in grade school, I was wearing glasses and they were sitting completely crooked on my face. And that's my school picture. And so I'm thinking to myself, how exhausted must this school photographer have been to look at me, see my glasses at a 45-degree angle, just think, It's not even worth the 4 seconds it would take to tell this kid to straighten his glasses. I don't care. I'm done. Take the picture. Whatever. It won't matter. Do you remember some of your school pictures, right? I remember the teenage year with the oily skin and the acne, right? That I wish I would have had some makeup. Now, if you think about how you experience your life from day to day, from week to week, you can't feel yourself growing, maturing physically, or you can't feel your appearance changing. But if you look at your school pictures from kindergarten through your senior year, right? You can't argue. There's growth. There's change going on, even though you can't always feel it. The changes that are happening are too slow moving and too subtle. Now, that same growth dynamic is happening across our entire lives, across our entire lifetimes, because of the hidden, out of the way, hard to detect work of God's Spirit that's always going on in our relationships, in our abilities to cope with loss, grief, and disappointment, in the development and enhancement of our own gifts and skills and strengths. Now, you can't see it because these changes are usually minute. But you are growing in all kinds of ways. You are growing in wisdom, in kindness, in love, in compassion and care, in your ability to summon forgiveness when someone hurts you, in wonder, in curiosity, in patience. Over the course of your life, you have learned to identify what you're good at, your skill set, and your strengths, and to deploy those gifts to serve other people. You are slowly opening the dark, secret places of shame in your life to the gentle, healing work of God's Spirit. You are slowly, over time, beginning to realize that you can let go of some of the unrealistic expectations that have shaped your life so far, so that you can get on and get busy living the amazing, wonderful life that you actually do have. You're living with less regret and more joy. Of course, I can't name all the ways that you are growing, but you are. Across the many years of your life, God will help you and God will encourage you by a variety of different people, different leaders, different friends, different teachers, different pastors. And part of Paul's point in this reading is that there's no need to get too caught up about these important people, about these leaders, either one way or another, either negatively or positively. On the negative side, no single leader, no single teacher or pastor or mentor has the power to block you from flourishing. Now, I want to be careful when I say that. If you have ever been harmed or betrayed or violated by a parent or a pastor or some other authority figure, I don't want to minimize the damage that that can cause or the pain that you've experienced. I'm only wanting to say that no leader, no authority figure in your life is so powerful that she or he can block the work of God's Spirit in your life. And the same is true on the positive side. Don't get too excited about anyone that has played an important role in your life. No leader is so important that you couldn't have grown without them. You could have. Leaders aren't magic. Leaders can't create in you something that's not already there in your life already. And a leader can't do the work that only you can do. Often we are tempted to project our own negativity, our own frustrations, our own anger on our leaders at all levels, right? Parents comes to me as a pastor, city officials, government leaders, presidents, right? We project our negativity, our frustration, and our anger on leaders, partly so that we can avoid taking responsibility for the difficult work that we ourselves are called to do. There were some other images of growth in today's reading. Paul also likens us to babies. You bunch of babies, he says. Babies who grow. Paul also likens us to buildings that are beautifully designed. But today I've tried to draw your attention to this image of your life as God's field. To our lives together as God's field. So friends, just look around you in amazement and wonder at all the beautiful things that are growing. And we do not even see as of yet what is still just beneath the surface of the soil, waiting to push up through the crust to reach for the warm sun.